Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Kreisler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, world, and others listening in. This is Progressive Radio Network, and you are listening to another episode of Cheater and the Rood every Thursday here on, as I said, Progressive Radio Network. My name is Jeff Kreisler. I am the author of the book Get Rich Cheating and the guy that does stuff with cheating. I just spoke at an ethics seminar for I had a funny day last Friday. I was told that my book, Get Rich Cheating, let's say it again a few more times, was in the library down at Occupy Wall Street. Not just that, but was in the official Occupied Wall Street Journal, their newspaper they put out. They had an article about the library, and they mentioned my book. And I was very proud of that, in a way, because I think my book addresses many of the issues that they wish to see confronted. And that same day, I went down to Georgetown University, to the business school there, a building of excess by excess, where people aren't, I'm not implying any sort of moral judgment on them. It's just, it's like a little mini Vegas down there. They have got a lot of money to spend, God bless them. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility where people can do a lot of wonderful things. It's set up to collaborate and to brainstorm and to create the new ideas that will move us all forward. And I think that's really what we all aspire to. And that's really what they're doing even now at Occupy Wall Street. But the point is that before I catch my breath, that I went down there to address a dinner for all of the top 10 business schools in the nation and some fellowship they were awarding, which is a very good thing. And I talked about cheating. I did my little cheating satirical presentation. So it was an interesting day to sort of paraphrase John Huntsman. I would like to be the comedian of the 99% and the comedian of the 1%. The truth is the 1% can pay for the free gigs. Anyway, joining me tonight, as always, is dead silence, crickets, crickets, Lee Papa, Cheater and the Rood. He is the Rood part of Cheater and the Rood, Lee Papa. He is not able to join us today. He is down doing the good thing, heading down to the wonderful city of New Orleans. That was the terrible New Orleans type accent. He is he's spreading the word. He's got a book, The Rood Almanac. Crap, is that the name of the book? I don't know. Someone Google it. Anyway, he's at a panel, a book fair, a book fest, a book thing. If I say book enough times, eventually I'll turn into a book. And he can't join us tonight, but he has trusted me to trust you, to trust us, to discuss many things. We're going to talk a bunch about some of the stuff that has come to mind for me from last night's debate, as well as a lot of the news that sort of trickled through in the last week in this great world of ours, the only one we have at the moment. And since the White House officially said we don't know if there are aliens, or rather, we haven't been contacted by them, and we're not really at the possibility. They actually didn't say that, but I just did. Since the White House said there are no aliens, and you can look it up, it's a real thing, the White House really did have to say this because there is a Freedom of Information request for them to do so. I can safely say that at the moment, this is the only world we have, so let us take care of it, and I don't want to do that soapboxy thing. Anyway, the point is, Lee trusted me to trust you to trust us, and now comes the part about trusting you. Today, for only the second or possibly third time in the, I'm guessing, 8-ish months of Cheater and the Rood, I would like to open up the phone lines for call-ins. It is 8:05-ish Eastern Time. We are on air until 8:30, so if you have something to say, whether it's about some of the stuff I'm talking about or about something that's on your mind, please call in. I'm going to repeat the number. I haven't said it once yet. I'm going to say it for the first time. Then it'll be repeating from when it was in my mind. 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. If someone out there is clever enough, they can look that up on their phone's keyboard and tell me what the acronym is. I don't know. Is it a phone keyboard? Is it an acronym? I don't know, Jeff. What do you think? Oh, hey, Mr. Microphone. I haven't talked to you in a while. Thanks, Jeff. It's been a long, long time. I don't really feel like talking to you right now. Okay, but I'm not sure if it's an acronym or not. Fair enough. The point is, 888 874-4888. Call in with any kind of topic. But, you know, keep it within the realm of possibility of what we talk about here on Cheater and the Rude, which is generally hypocrisy, politics, business, the world as it is. Don't ask me how to lose weight. I cannot do that. I think it's important, but that's not my specialty. 888-874-4888. And while we're speaking of phone, keyboard, acronym thing, I discovered something interesting the other day. I was calling my mom. That is correct. I was born to a female human. And I have her plugged in on my phone as Mom Cell. And I have a new little phone. I won't say the brand of it, but it rhymes with Schman Schmoid. And I was typing in M-O-M, and I noticed something very peculiar. M-O-M, the phone acronym or facronym, is 666. Bum, 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 boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom, bum, 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 bum. I have no idea why some sort of semi-porn riff got in the middle of my surprise. Bum, bum, bum. And I'm a little disturbed because I'm talking about 666. The point is, I'm sure someone out there who likes to tell mother-in-law jokes can use that, and I give you my blessing. I just wish for my cut. I don't know. What's a proper cut? Speaking of moms, this is what has driven my perspective in the last few weeks, or really the last, let's say, 8.5 months. As some of the listeners know, and I generally, here's what's interesting before I get this. In my act, I'm a stand-up comedian. Also, you can check me out, jeffchrysler.com. I'm really incredibly, I don't know, I was going to say something nice about myself, but it's just go up there, give me money. I generally do not talk about my personal life. There's a lot of psychological reasons. I'm not reclining in my chair, so I don't want to get into it. This is not the psychology, psychotherapy, whatever the proper word. This is not the place for it, but I don't talk about my personal life. I don't like to share that for whatever reason. I talk about politics. I talk about the world. I talk about how we collectively can be better people, not necessarily what this person is about. Nonetheless, one of the things that has come out of this particular radio show is sort of a desire to share. Perhaps it's the anonymity. Perhaps it's the fact that I don't know if you're laughing or not, which is ironic because I want people to laugh at my comedy when I'm doing the stand-up. Maybe that's why I don't talk about that. Maybe this did just become a place with a couch. Maybe someone out there should be doodling pictures on a little notepad while I tell you about my 666. The point is, I'm going to share a little bit, and please do not let me down by somehow using this against me, because I will find you, and I will cut you with my mind. Okay? I'm not actually threatening anyone out there, so don't feel threatened. Duh. Chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. There it is again. It's an underlying beat, I guess I've got. The point is, as perspective providing material for the last stretch of my life, I, as some of you know, am about to be a father for the first time. Yeah! I got to get new. There's another. It's sort of in the mouth, in the embouchure, the boom, chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom. I have other things I can do. But I'm going to be a father soon. And a couple things crossed my mind recently. One is we're still working on a name. I don't know what you guys think. Last name of mine, my last name is a shorter way of saying that, is Chrysler. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Jesus Chrysler? Is that a little is that a little too on the nose? Not actually going to be a child coming from my wife's body. It's going to be a beam of light. And I like the beam. You got to say when you got to go up on beam. The other thing that I've really been thinking about is what kind of world I'm bringing my child into, what kind of world I can provide for him or her, and what kind of world is being provided for him and her. And I'm just happy. I am ecstatic. I am thrilled beyond adjectives that do not require me to yell that I'm bringing my child into a world where any man, any woman, any mixed type thing that is not in one of those two categories, any person can grow up to run for president of these United States of America in order to sell books and TV shows and opportunities to make money. I am just proud that we live in a country where the office of president, the pursuit of that office, is so highly regarded that people have finally realized it is nothing more than a money-making opportunity. That it is just a chance to gain publicity. What do we produce in this country? We don't really make a lot of stuff in the manufacturing section, or as Rick Santorum kept saying last night, we don't make a lot, but we do make publicity. We're great at it, and you can make tons of money. Hello, Kim Kardashian's behind. You can make money for nothing. And that's what it seems like these Republican candidates are doing. Now, I don't want to pick sides. I imagine if right at this moment in time, if we were having a Democratic primary because there's a Republican president, we might see some of the same shucksters and shysters and other words like that appearing, although we didn't really the last time. I mean, the wackos then were the quote-unquote wackos, were like Kucinich, who his delusional pursuit of the office was because he was passionately driven by his belief in ideas, not because he wanted publicity, not because he wanted to be famous and rich. And look, you cannot really fault them. This is a country where you see an opportunity to make money. That's what this country's all about. Pull yourself up from your bootstraps and then sell a show of America's Next Top Bootstraps, and then you're all set, and then get fired for the show because you married a shoelace. The point is, these people have learned from the great example of Sarah Palin, who I have made quite a bit of fun, and I've actually probably made quite a bit of money off of Sarah Palin, to be honest. But one thing I honestly give her credit for is she is intelligent in that she saw what were the opportunities for her to advance herself. Self-interest drives many people. This has been a philosophical argument for as long as man and woman has existed on this planet, and many people believe, and I believe there is some credence to the fact that self-interest drives. So she seized on self-interest. She was thrust into the spotlight, and she realized, I'm not going to do this job as Alaska governor that pays me 6 hides of walrus. I am going to quit and make money while I can. And look at her. She made millions of dollars with book deals and TV shows and speaking engagements. Speaking engagements. The woman cannot speak, but she made money doing what she cannot do. That is genius. I'm sorry, for those that want to just hate on the Sarah Palin, you cannot hate on her. You can not want her to be president. You can think it frightening when she opens her mouth and people listen to her and are influenced by her. You can, as I do, sort of revel in the both awesome and terrifyingness. There's a word there. Terror. Thank you, brain. Hey, you're welcome. No, not you, microphone brain. You can revel in the awesomeness and terror of this conversation that I'm going to repeat for you, that I have had ad nauseum when out in the middle of the country or amongst Sarah Palin supporters. I have had this conversation. You know, I really like Sarah Palin because she's just like me. Yeah, that's the freaking problem. It's great that she's just like you, but I don't want you running the country. I don't want me running the country. I want some super genius, like, space robot from the future that knows everything. I don't want, you know, Bumpkin McGee, and I use that term to cover me as well as everyone I know, as well as the people speaking to me. And that's, nonetheless, I veered off topic. And my point is, people like Sarah Palin. And you can like her, you can hate her, you can be scared of her, you can want her just to go away. You can start a Sarah Palin, give her the silent treatment Facebook group. But you cannot deny that she had a business genius. And I see this current Republic field. Republic. Huh. Maybe we should do that. You know how they call us? Yeah, I said us because I lesser of two evils. You know how they call the Democratic Party? The Democrat Party? You know, they use it all the time. It's really kind of annoying and bothersome. It's like like a bully in the street that just calls people names. Why don't we say Republic? I don't know. I haven't really thought it through, but I just did it by accident. The point is, all the Republican candidates, I don't think they're really running for president. I am convinced they are running mostly to increase their brand and their opportunities. I'm going to start with, I'm not going to get right into the one guy I really want to talk about. I'm going to start with Rick Santorum. He's running not to be president because he knows he doesn't have a chance. He's running to change the Google search results for his name. Mitt Romney is running just to prove something to his dad. Now, admittedly, that is why most of us men in the world do things, but we don't always wear it right quite so much on our face. I'll do anything, Dad. Rick Perry, he's running because he wants the free hand of the market to punch you in the nuts. John Huntsman, he's the exception that proves the rule, because he's running because he has a vision for what actually might make this country a better place, which is, of course, why he also has no chance. Ron Paul. A lot of Ron Paul supporters out there. I run to them all the time when I perform in colleges. I got no problem with Ron Paul supporters and their passion. I don't even have a problem with Ron Paul and his passion. But, again, he is not running for president. He doesn't necessarily have financial motives in hand. He is not running for president of the United States. Ron Paul is running so that he can control the conch on the island from the Lord of the Flies. You see, because he wants there to be nothing, no services. Just like all the Republicans want us, basically to move to Somalia. And then, well, there's Michelle Bachmann. Do I want to talk about Bachmann right now? I don't know. Michelle Bachmann, I was watching her a little bit last night, and I haven't watched all the debates because I have, you know, I don't want to die of an ulcer. But she was, you know, like, these geniuses at Fannie and Freddie. She used sarcasm a lot, but she didn't modulate her voice. First of all, she needs a coach. In sarcasm, I'm willing to take all of your campaign money and teach you how to deliver humorous lines. But she talked about how Happy Meals equivalent for her tax plans. And she always talked about the geniuses. And she would say things like, they had the brilliant idea. And the way she delivered it, if you didn't know already what she was talking about, you would think she meant brilliant idea. And you would think she meant geniuses. And then it just sounded... What did Rick Santorum say about it? I don't know what she's thinking. I don't know if it's a new strategy. There is, sadly, a merger between entertainment and politics that we've seen. Palin, again, being a good example. But the people that are kind of funny and the people that are outrageous, the people that are wacky, they're not, or I don't think they should be, even they are, sadly, running for actual office. It's the people coming from the bottom up, the commentators, the Jon Stewarts, the Anderson Coopers, the people that are commenting on, not the people that are in the thick of it. I think there still should be some respect and dignity in the leadership of this great country. But let's turn to the hombre of the hour, the man, I think. By the way, I don't even want to talk about Perry's thing. Who cares? Not everyone's a good debater. That's not the reason why we shouldn't have him be in office. Although he does sort of seem like an Alzheimer-y Reagan meets W more and more all the time. But I want to turn to Mr. Kane, Herman Kane, the man, as my partner Lee Papa here on Cheater in the Rude often says, as head of the National Restaurant Association and head of Godfather's Pizza, is responsible for more deaths in America than Bin Laden. And as a man with some heart issues, I totally agree. By the way, for the number 888-874-4888, call in, because I'm about to get into it, I think, depending on where my brain lets me go. Herman Cain must just be running to sell books, to increase his brand, to get a TV show. I mean, that's the only explanation that I have left. I know others have brought up this before. And here's an interesting idea. I don't necessarily believe this is true, but as Herman Cain himself said when saying, I don't have the facts to back this up. That's my Herman Cain impression, by the way. I don't have the facts to back this up. Anything else would be offensive. I don't have the facts to back this up, but I believe. I think he was talking about Occupy Wall Street. I'm getting really quiet and close to you. Are you feeling sexy? Herman Cain, I would not be surprised if that man, Herman Cain, or his group, his campaign, the Cain campaign, very lyrical, the Cain campaign, the one that did the commercial with the smoking guy who said, you've never seen anything like this, the Cain campaign, I wouldn't be surprised if it was they themselves that facilitated the leak that has led to the flood as the dams have broken. There's a leak, flood, dike metaphor in there somewhere. I'm not willing to do it right now. It would not be surprising to me if he and his camp, his campaign, somehow were complicit in the leak. Because, and again, I'm not saying, I don't know that I really believe it's true, but however, it fits into proving my point of this. A, this whole leak, and perhaps the reason why really he's not letting it go, so normally, is it feeds his narrative. It feeds his narrative that he wants to use for the next step of his life, of his career. That narrative being that he's being scapegoated, he's being quote-unquote high-tech lynched, that he is your standard bearer for the victimized example of what is wrong with America, what is wrong with the media, what is wrong with the left, what is wrong with the gotcha media. His narrative, his career plan, is to get a TV show. I mean, maybe I'm being too specific here, but are we going to be surprised when Herman Cain is on Fox News in 6 months? Maybe he'll wait till after the campaign to maintain some sort of, I don't know, go on book tour to get money to settle more things out of court. But he already is a guy. I mean, I don't remember, does he have a TV show, radio show? But now he's going to be the standard bearer. He's going to be the guy that can speak to being victimized. I mean, I love that he is playing the victim card when his whole rhetoric is that don't consider yourself victimized when you're coming from a perspective that, of course, is not his. And I also really don't think he wants to be president. That's the other thing why he might have leaked it. Do people out there really think Herman Cain wants to be president? Does Herman Cain want to be president? Want to have to know who the leader of Uzbekistan is? I mean, you can't, as we learned, 12-something years ago or 14 years ago, you can't get a little ahead when you're head of state. I crossed the line, bitches. What you gonna do? Boom, chicka boom, chicka boom. Interesting. Did I use the word bitches? We'll get to that aspect of Herman Cain in a second, the aspect of his choice of language. But to stick on the point, I don't believe Herman Cain wants to be. Who wants to be? Does he? President. He can make more money not being president, just like Palin made more money. And money is the root of all good. Being a personality. And he has got the most personality. We'll give him that. He's got the most personality on that stage, unless you count Newt as being sort of the Urkel meets, what's the dude in The Simpsons? What's the name of the guy in The Simpsons, Giselle, my wonderful engineer today. What's the name of the guy in The Simpsons, the dorky guy that Nelson everybody picks on?
Martin.
Yeah, Martin, thank you. Newt Gingrich, he has personality, if you think personality is he wants to be Martin. I mean, somebody, one of these days, Rick Perry is going to pants the F out of Newt Gingrich. And Newt is going to explain to him why that's the fault of the liberal media. But Newt is such a pompous douche nozzle. I mean, I love him. I love him being there because he's a cartoon character. And Newt, by the way, speaking of not running for president, he's actually not running for president. He just wants to sell his own TV show, America's Next Top Gingrich Wife. It involves cheating on your current wife while... Anyway, point is, Herman Cain doesn't want to be president. He wants to sell books. He wants to make money. And that's what this campaign is. How many debates are there? Someone go Google that. What's that brain? You Googled it. There are a shitball of debates. You're right. There's probably 40 debates. And I don't think that number might even be low. Because it's like a 40-episode TV deal for these guys. It's a development deal. Get on the show. Get on stage. Work it out. Work out your material. Take it on the road. And then we'll give you a big show. We'll give you the big top. You know, you get 3 big debate appearances. We'll give you a chance to be on all the networks. And then, you know, after that, you're kind of on your own. We develop you, then you're free to make whatever media money you want. But I want to veer back a little bit to Herman Cain and language. His scandal, which you all, if you're listening to this, you've heard plenty about. Maybe this is because I'm going to be a father soon, and I could be the father of a girl. Though, frankly, I could be the father of a boy, and I think I'd feel the same way, because it has nothing to do, really, being a father has to do with being a human and not liking, what's a classy word for douchebags? I don't know. But I don't like douchebags. I don't like guys that wear gold watches. Let me put it that way. Let me be a stereotype. I don't know if Herman Cain wears a gold watch, but last night in the debate, this man, who is having his character questioned because of his treatment of women who are employees or ex-employees, treatment of women who are asking him for things, treatment of vulnerable women, treatment of women in general. Last night referred to Nancy Pelosi as Princess Nancy. Nancy Pelosi, I believe, as Speaker of the House, was the highest-ranking elected official in the history of the United States. First woman Speaker of the House. I know we've had female secretaries of state, so you can make an argument about what's more powerful and all that stuff. But he referred to her as Princess Nancy. Now, I realize this was in a debate where we also had a lot of really, quote-unquote, clever names with General Axelrod from Bachman and I don't even know all the other stuff. But Princess Nancy, does it... The issue here is, to me, that it's offensive. It's... This is the most powerful woman in the history of American politics, except for maybe Linda Trapp. And he just calls her princess. It demeans her. It makes her a child, a little girl. It makes her spoiled. It makes her... All the connotations that he wanted to bring up with Princess Nancy. I realize it could have been a man, and he could have had some the little prince read. But he said Princess Nancy. And fair or not, he is having his character question mostly, and if not entirely, about his treatment towards women. And yet, in this moment, he chose to make that comment. It shows a lack of, not just a comment's lack of sensitivity, lack of caring, but beyond that, the context of the comment shows that he wasn't aware of the offensive nature of the comment, which is its own sin. He wasn't aware of the combination of his being questioned for his character and the combination with the comment, or he didn't give a damn. He just said, screw it, I'm sticking it in their face. I'm poking them in the eye. None of those are things that are good for a presidential candidate. None of those are things that you want when, quote unquote, bringing honor back to the office, taking our country back, all the crap that they spew. Here's a man who has so much disregard for 50% of our country, of the world, for all the women that he would make these comments, he would do these things, and he would then pile it on top of the situation that he was in. It's frustrating me. Was he joking? I mean, was he just trying to be humorous? Again, I'll go back to what I said about Bachman. You're not a comedian. You know, there's room for being lighthearted. That is not the place. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because here's the thing. There are some positive aspects to the conservative idea, but the conservative idea is not being represented anymore. And by the nature of the people in the Conservative Party, they will put up, they will not be introspective and look to change that. John Huntsman, take a break from this next 30 seconds. They will just keep fighting and doubling down and pushing for and saying, fuck you and fuck you and fuck you. And that is what Herman Cain is doing, saying, fuck you, you're wrong. He's not acknowledging the reality on the ground. Our country has moved forward centuries since it was founded. And we have progressed and we have changed. We have made ourselves and the world a better place. And if we keep dragging our heels and trying to pull us back into the past, we have no hope for the future. And I want us to work together. I want the side that I may not agree with to at least contribute to the conversation. I want them to be able to convince me of other ideas. But that is not what's been put forward. That's not what they've given us the opportunity to do. I have about a minute left, and I didn't hit on a bunch of stuff, but you know what, that's okay. Sometimes we just kind of go off. I'll say this one last thing really quickly about Herman Cain's reaction to the scandal. He says it's not fair. He basically will blame the media, blame other people. He says it's not fair. Well, aren't you the same guy that said that the poor people have only themselves to blame, that they shouldn't complain about being not fair, that they're poor? They should get out there and they should work harder and make their money and they could be rich. Well, how about you? Stop blaming others and deal with your situation and let's move forward. And that goes for the rest of the people that are out there in this entire world. Stop blaming, start assessing, and let's move forward. I got a little bit angry at the end. Jeff, calm down. Okay, I'll calm down. This has been Cheater and the Rude. We are here every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network. You can give us some feedback. Go to the Facebook if you're on there. Search for Cheater and the Rude. We got a group. Go to my Twitter, at Jeff Chrysler, the at sign, then J-E-F-F-K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R. You can also check out my website, GetRichCheating.com. Or JeffChrysler.com. Of course, as always, he wasn't here today, but Lee Papa, the Root Pundit, is at rootpundit.blogspot. He writes some great stuff. I read it all the time whenever he pays me. And tune into the other shows here at Progressive Radio Network. Hire us, love us, listen to us, tell us what you think. This has been Cheater and the Rude, every Thursday, 8 p.m., Progressive Radio Network.